I want to take up with you in the gospel this evening this parable that we have just read together. If you have your testament and you open it with me at this 14th chapter of Luke, you will find that there are five things lying right on the surface of this parable. They're very simple. First of all, you have the great supper. And that supper, of course, is a type of the gospel feast. The great supper. I want to talk a little about that this evening. And then you have the great stupidity. The people who were invited that didn't come. And the consent that they got together and they made up their minds they weren't going to come. My, there's a lesson there for every sinner. When you get into company, you know, company takes you to hell. If I could isolate you and get you alone and talk to you as an individual, perhaps the gospel would make some impression upon you. But when sinners began come together and begin with one consent to make excuse, you know you're up against the power of the enemy, the great stupidity. And then we have the great salvation. It's for who? It's for the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. That's the people God saves. And there's a great lesson in that for us all. And I want to talk about that a little, the great salvation. And then you have the great sovereignty. He said, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And thank God, God goes out by His Spirit into the highways and the hedges. And He brings them in. He has been doing that this week, you know. We had a dear lady saved here last Sunday morning. We thank God for that. I was preaching in Larne Town Hall. I knew it was going to be a good meeting on Thursday night. It was bound to be a good meeting for the three squibs at the prayer meeting in the minor hall. And I said, my, we're going to have a good meeting. When the old devil's throwing squibs at you when you're praying, you're going to really preach well. And what happened? We had a great meeting. And a young lady came out, a young girl. She came up into the back room and I pointed her to Christ, and after we got up from her knees after prayer, I said to her, are any of your friends saved? And I saw a man and woman kneeling at this row of seats at the back of the little room I was in. And they were weeping. And she said, no, none of my friends are saved. I said, is your mommy and daddy saved? She said, no. And then this man and woman stood up and went over and put their arms around her. And I said, who are you? They said, we're her parents. We want to be saved too. And I had the great joy of leading them to Christ. He's the church warden in the big parish church. It's not bad when a free Presbyterian shooter brings down one like that. Sure is not human. That's as good as the Baptist could do anything. It is indeed. Yes, sir. My, that was good, wasn't it? That rejoices our heart. Then we had a dear man and woman came to the manse on Wednesday that we might point them to Jesus. My, that's God's sovereignty. He's picking them up. Do you remember the day He picked you up? Maybe you came into the meeting and you had no notion of getting saved, and praise God, the Lord saved you. Wonderful. That's the sovereignty. And then last of all, there is the sentence. Look at verse 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. There's the great sentence. So we're going to talk about the great supper, the great stupidity, the great salvation, the great sovereignty, and the great sentence. Of course, I'll only preach one point probably tonight, and then we'll be ready to go. But you can work them out on your own. First of all, we have the great supper. You know, I was thinking about this supper. Certain man made a great supper. And he said, come for all things are now ready. There were three things about that supper. First of all, it was a token that was characterized by friendship. When he made the supper, he made it for his friends. And he wanted to invite his friends to partake of it. And so the invitation of friendship was sent up. Of course, the supper was characterized, secondly, by food. Wouldn't be much good bringing you to the supper if nothing was on the table. And neither was plenty on the table, and it was all ready, and it was nicely cooked. It wasn't like some of that stuff you had in the oven this morning, and because I preached too long, it was a burnt offering when you got it out of the oven. It wasn't like that. It was ready, all right. Food. And the last thing about that supper, I think that supper speaks to me of fellowship, friendship, food, and fellowship. Now, I want to say something. Jesus Christ is here tonight, and he's offering an overture of friendship to every one of us. And you know, friend, let me say this to you all. In the battle of life, if there's anything a man or woman needs, it's a friend who'll never leave you and never forsake you and never, never let go your hand. And Jesus is such a friend. Maybe there's some young people here tonight and you feel life's pathway's all rosy and you feel that everything's great. And the sky is blue, and the waters are still, and you're sailing sweetly over life's placid sea, and you think there's nothing to worry about. You'll soon be disillusioned, friend. The dark days come to us all. The tempests are all part of our common lot. You'll have your heartaches. You'll have your bereavements. You'll have your troubles and your pains and your disappointments and your disillusionments. But praise God, you can have a friend tonight. A friend that'll give you light when there's darkness. A friend that'll give you cheer when there's hopelessness. A friend that'll give you pardon and peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that friend is Jesus. Oh, that you would meet Jesus Christ in this hall tonight. He's saying, come, for all things are now ready. I have prepared blood to wash you, and grace to save you, and clothing to make a garment for you. I've prepared a road for you to walk. I've prepared joys and rejoicings along life's pathway, and have prepared a mansion in the sky for your eternal enjoyment forever and ever. Praise God, Jesus is a great friend. Oh, that man may meet Jesus Christ tonight in this meeting as their friend. Oh, that you might meet him. Oh, that you might know him. I couldn't tell you tonight what Jesus means to me. As a young boy, sitting in a children's meeting, conducted by my godly mother who led me to the Savior, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. And as a young boy, I came to Christ. And Christ has been with me ever since. I knew him in boyhood, I knew him at school, when I was in college, I knew his friendship. I've known his friendship now since I started to preach the gospel when I was 16 years of age. And I'm preaching now, coming up to the 30-year mark of preaching. And I've found that Jesus never fails. I've known him in the storm, I've known him in the calm. I've known him when the sun was shining. I've known him in the darkest night. I've known them when I've been preaching and praying. I've known them in sickness and in trials. And I've known them in the prison cell. And I can say tonight, Jesus never fails. And He never will fail. Oh, that you might meet Him tonight. You know, the Church of Rome never liked me. Of course, I don't like the Church of Rome. So it's mutual. I saw a very good article this week in the Irish Catholic. If Mr. Paisley became a Catholic, thank God I've been a Catholic for years. You didn't know that? I am. I'm not a Roman Catholic. Hallelujah for that. But every believer belongs to the true Catholic Church. Say amen, will you? Amen. I thought you were sleeping there. I was going to waken you up. I wasn't deep. Let me tell you something. You know what it said? It said because Mr. Paisley stood up for the virginity of the Lord's mother, that the Virgin Mary would bless him and eventually make a Catholic of him. Well, I'm telling you, they're going to wait a long time. When you're able to stop the Niagara torrent with a teaspoon, when you're able to cross the Atlantic astride a matchstick, when you're able, my friend, to stop the rising sun tomorrow with a lollipop stick, I'll be a Catholic then. A Roman Catholic, I mean. Oh, the folly of it all. If Mr. Paisley became a Catholic, my friend, let me tell you something tonight. I don't need anything else but Jesus. But the Church of Rome never liked me, and one day there was a woman came to our church and to our home, and she pretended to be a nun. And she took a lot of us in. We thought she was an honest woman, and we brought her to our home. And for a week she was very, very clever. And then I got a bit suspicious, for I found a six-shooter in her handbag. I found out something, that this woman was there to do no good. And I got a six-shooter in her handbag, and we tried to watch her, and then she disappeared. But the day before she disappeared, she made a meal, and I ate the meal. And that meal was to kill me. And I was poisoned, and I lay at death's door. My wife could just tell you how ill I was. And the doctor came and he looked and he held up his hands. And he said, my God, he has been poisoned. And I was right down in the borderline. I've been there, friend. I've been along the border of death. I'm talking out of experience. And I couldn't lift that hand over the sheet. But I want to tell you something. I knew the friendship of Jesus then. I knew it then. In sorrow, He's my comfort. In trouble, He's my stay. He tells me every care and Him to roll. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. So I can give you personal testimony. And I have worn the brown suit in the prison. And I wore a star on my arm. It's the only star I'll ever get. I keep it here. I have it, you know. Man, when I come out of prison, I said, well, I'm going to keep that star. There it's there. I wore that in my arm. I told them I was the sheriff, the lawman, when I had that. I've been there, friend. I have. But Jesus was there. I've seen Him in the storm. I've seen Him in the sunshine. And praise God, He's nearer and dearer and sweeter to me tonight than ever He has been before. He's my wonderful Savior. That's not the sermon, though, Bob. You can hold it. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. He wants to be your friend tonight. I want you to meet Jesus in this hall tonight. There's something else about this supper. There's food here. Aye, we're hungry, aren't we? There's not a man or woman, boy or girl in this meeting that's not hungry. That's why you were away, man, at the boozer last night. There was a hungry spirit within you. And you tried to fill the aching void with booze. That's why you were away at the picture palace. That's why you were away in the dance hall last night. There's an aching void in here that needs to be filled. I want to tell you, friend, you'll never satisfy your soul with the husks of this life, but Jesus will satisfy it. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat ye, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Jesus can satisfy you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah. Last night I was preaching down in the moor. We have a great church there that was packed to capacity. They have had a great year. They're just a wee free Presbyterian church, but their offerings were so great for last year that the two Presbyterian churches were ashamed to announce what figures they had. They were so miserable compared to the good free Presbyterians. Yes, that's a testimony. And the minister, James McClellan, who's one of my sons in the faith, I led him to the Lord one time. He said, I want you to come with me in and see a man I've just led to the Lord. And I went away with him, away into the moors, up into the silent valley beside where the reservoir is, and went up a laneway about 11 o'clock last night. And he brought me into this home, and this man was lying upon his bed. He wasn't well. He had a heart attack. And he brought me in. I met him, John Nugent. And his wife said to me, she said, Mr. Paisley, I came to Christ last September in your mission in the church. And my husband here took a heart attack, then your minister carried him out and took him to the hospital and led him to Jesus. And he put up his hand and he caught mine and he said, I really know the Savior now. I really know him. And you know, friend, those people have a testimony that Jesus is satisfied. They had tried the broken cisterns. They've tried the world with its pleasures, but praise God, they're satisfied with Jesus. I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled. Now none but Christ can satisfy. Will you take them tonight? Will you receive them tonight? There's food that'll satisfy. Praise God, there's fellowship. You know what that is? That's, friend, the communion of spirits and life's journey. Fellowship. Somebody you can speak to that really understands what's happening. That's what fellowship is. There's not many people you can fellowship with. Life's lonely. There's only a few kindred spirits to us all in the world. You know that person you go to when you're in trouble and you can open your heart to them in some way, they understand. I was in a home once and there was sorrow in the home. You know why? Because a little one had been taken away. And of course we were all trying to comfort the dear mother. She had just held that little one in her hands for a few hours and clasped it with a motherly embrace to her breast. And the little one, too frail for life's arms, had been called across the sea to the upper garden of God. And mother's heart was broken. And we tried to comfort her, but we weren't able. But there came in a dear Christian sister. And she was able to comfort her. You know why? Because she too had lost her little one. She had walked that way before. She had been in the same valley and through the same darkness. And my, when that woman put her arms round her and started to whisper in her ears, there was fellowship. Kindred spirits were meeting. There's not a way that I have to walk that Jesus hasn't walked before me. There's not a burden that I have to carry that Jesus hasn't carried. There's not a heartache, not an affliction, not a sorrow, and not, my friend, any trial that Jesus doesn't understand. Standing somewhere in life's shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will meet him and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Fellowship. That's what he's offering you tonight, and that's what you need. Friendship. Food and fellowship. It's the grand supper. Come. Come, sinner. But all things are not ready. He didn't say, come to the baptistry. No, sir. Or come to the communion table. No, sir. He said, come to the supper, the gospel supper. Come to Jesus. For none but Jesus, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Will you come to him? There's the great stupidity in this verse, isn't there? These people began with one consent to make excuse. We're not going. How many times has Jesus invited you to come and you haven't come? I'm conscious, friend, that we preach to people for the last time. I may be preaching to someone here for the last time. We had a dear man guard at our church last Saturday, dear Brother Moore, a member of this church. Early hours of Tuesday morning, he passed suddenly into eternity. He's not with us. Our heart goes out in love and sympathy to his dear wife and family. We're going to miss our brother. He was looking forward to the opening of the church, but he's in a far better church tonight. He's reached the land of corn and wine and the city that hath foundations, and there's no temple therein, for the Lord God is the temple thereof. But you don't know what a day will bring forth. You're a stupid fool to reject Jesus Christ, friend. The most stupid thing you could do is turn your back upon the Lord. With one consent, they began to make excuses. What can excuse are you making? I was talking to a man this week, and I said to him, why are you not a Christian? And he said, well, it's like this, I couldn't keep it. I said, that's just an excuse. Jesus never asked you to keep anything, but Jesus says he'll keep you. Just an excuse. I was downtown the other week here, and I met a chap. He once was a bright Christian. He's got away from the Lord. And I just ran into him. And he said, I'm not going on with the Lord, Mr. Paisley. I'm not rejoicing. And I got the hold of that man, and I really got at him about the Word of God. He met me this morning just there at the curtain. He says, I've good news too for you. I came back last night to Christ.
Hallelujah.
I got restored to the Lord. He wasn't going to be stupid anymore. He was going to make it right with the Lord. Don't you be a fool any longer, friend. Close with Christ now. Say, now I'm going to come. This is my night. If you wait for your companions, you'll never come. If you wait, my friend, for the feelings that you think you ought to have, you'll never come. If you wait till the road seems easy, until the sky is without a cloud, you'll never come. But praise God, you can come now, and Jesus will save you. May you come. The great salvation, the poor. Praise God, you don't need money to be saved. Poverty-stricken sinner, Jesus can save you. And the blind, the man that cannot see, my God, Jesus can make him see at the cross. He can see the Lord and be saved forever. And the halt and the maimed, the people that sin has broken. Is there some man that sin has broken tonight? Is there some old hardened sinner in this congregation and sin has maimed you? And the scars, the ugly scars of sin are upon you. My God, Jesus can save you. He can save you. I came to the Ravenhill Road 24 years ago, nearly now. I used to go around knocking on the doors. See, I had a very poor congregation, so I had to do something. And I had only a few people. We had 60 people when we started. After 6 months, we had about 30 people left. I remember preaching on a text, "Will ye also go away?" I thought they were all going to go, but I went round the doors preaching. Yeah. And, we lost people, you know. One day we lost the treasure. Of course, we kept the money. That was a good thing. And we lost the choir. We used to have a choir, and we lost the choir master, and we lost the Sunday school superintendent. We lost the organist. They never lost the preacher, for I knew nobody else would call me. I hadn't a chance, so I had to stay on. That was what was wrong. But I went knocking doors and went down to Moore Street, you know. And there was a house there, a very dirty looking house, an old torn curtains on it. And I kept knocking, and a woman came out and she says, "You don't want to go in there." I said, "Why?" She says, "There's a man in there, and he's an evil man. He's the worst man in this district, and he'll not open to you." Well, I said, "I want to meet him. I've got a message that can deal with that man." Oh, she says, "He'll never come out." But I went back. I was sort of stubborn, and I went back and I knocked the door. And one day I was knocking and I heard a noise, and I said, "He's in, and I'll kick this door in, but I'm getting in." So I really set about the door, and I heard this man coming up the hallway cursing, and he threw open the door and he said, "What do you want?" I said, "I just want you." And boy, that just took the wind out of me. And he said, to my surprise, "Will you come in?" I said, "Certainly." So I got in as quickly as I could. I wasn't going to let him change his mind. And I went up the hall, and I went into the kitchen, if you could call it a kitchen. It was like a pigsty. It was a lot of old boxes and an old smashed up sofa in the corner. And it was dark and dirty. And I looked at him, and he looked at me. He says, "What have you come for?" I said, "For you." I said, "I preach up the road here. I've got a great Savior. I'd like to introduce him to you." He says, "You don't know who I am." And he pointed to a wee room. He says, "In that room my wife died." And he said, "I pulled her out of bed in a drunken fit, and I beat her up while she was dying. And they couldn't get evidence on me, or I wouldn't be living here today. I would be in the Crumlin Road." I said, "That's nothing." I said, "My Savior loves you." "Loves me," he says. "Says I certainly, Jesus loves you." I went back there, you know. I didn't win the pull the fish out of the water the first day. You don't do it easy. I went back a lot of times, and one day I was sitting in an old orange box turned up in its end, and he was sitting in an old broken box, and I was looking at him. And I said, "What about making it today?" And he started to weep. And we knelt down on the old dirty floor, and I led him to Jesus. And he got saved. He got really saved. He's in the glory land today. He's not there anymore. Do you know what God did for him? God cleaned his house. I went back, and he had clean windows. The first time anybody saw in, they could see in now. And he had put clean curtains on the windows. And one day I was in a meeting, and there was a lot of men made up a choir. And you know who was in the front of the choir? This fella, and he was singing away. Says, "I'll talk to him after the meeting." So after the meeting was over, I went up and I talked to him. I said, "Do you remember me?" He says, "I'll never forget you." He said, "Do you remember the day you knelt with me at the old boxes in my home and you led me to Christ?" He says, "I've got the new song and I'm singing it." Listen, he was me and the scars were on him, but Jesus saved him. Jesus can save you. Maybe you're a religious hypocrite. Maybe you're one of those nice people with a big Bible that go to church and say your prayers, but the grace of God has never melted your heart. He can save you tonight. You're blind, but he can save you. God's salvation, God's sovereignty, compel them to come in. You know, if I could do that, I would do it. Compel sinners to come in. You know, there are some Calvinistic preachers, and they get so dead in their preaching that they never compel a poor sinner to come to Christ. But if I could compel you, friend, I would do it. I would carry you to the cross if I could. I would grab you and bring you, but I can't do it. But thank God, God's servant is the Holy Ghost, and he can do it. And I trust tonight the Spirit of God will get the hold of you and pull you over the line and save you for Jesus' sake. But there's a great sentence here. None of those people that were invited the first time will ever get another invitation. There's a time when God's invitation ceases. There's a time when God calls no more. God has moved in this hall. We'll never repeat the services we've had here. My, we have had some wonderful services in this hall. We've got a lot of them recorded, thank God. And when I hear them played over again, they rejoice my heart. But friend, we're passing a milestone tonight. And when the era of my ministry is over, and a new era is beginning, and one era of your opportunity is over, and a new era is beginning, and maybe God's going to say tonight, after tonight, that man will never be invited again. I've invited him since he was young, and now he's old, and this is the last invitation. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by the Ulster Hall tonight. He's putting out his hand and he's calling you. Will you come? May God help sinners to come. Oh, may this be a real salvation night. May man and woman come. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. As Jesus passes by tonight, come and trust him. And he'll save you and satisfy you for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and everybody's still and quiet, thank God there's a lot of believers here tonight. When we preached first in this hall, there was just sort of handfuls of believers here and there, but my God's numbered and multiplied the people of the Lord. And there's been hundreds of people saved, and we give God thanks. If you're a real Christian tonight, I want you to do something. Would you lift your hand above your head so that I can see it now? Just put them up, believer. Thank God for these hands tonight. Just take them down. My, all these people that are saved, praise the Lord for them. But you know, there's men and women and boys and girls and they couldn't put up their hands. Couldn't come and say, I'm saved. I'm going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But you, my friend, are out of Christ and held by many a snare. I cannot leave you lost and lone. I want you over there. Will you come? The Bible says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you have to do is call upon him. Will you call upon him now? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and we're all praying, and you believers are praying as you've never prayed before. I'm inviting men and women, boys and girls, backsliders and sinners to come to Christ. Will you come tonight? If you're going to come, would you lift your hand above your head now and we'll remember you in the closing prayer. Just do it now and let me see it. That's right, anywhere in the meeting. God bless you. Where are you? Let's see your hand. God bless you, friend. That's that dear young man that was blinded there. He's coming to the Lord tonight. Praise God for that. That does my heart good. Is there someone else? Will you come? Let me see your hand tonight. You need to come to Jesus. Will you come? Is there someone else? Lift it right up now. Yes, let me see it. Lift it right above your head now. Someone else? Let me see it. Just lift it now. Someone else, God bless you. Amen. Praise God for another. Is there someone else? Will you lift your hand now? Then let me see it. Someone else. Just do it now. Yes, let me see it. Just do it now. Is there someone else? Yes, there ought to be others here. You need to come. It's the final night. We're preaching to you maybe for the last time. Will you come? Make it now. Let me see your hand. Yes, just do it now. Is there someone else? Just lift your hand now. We're going to help you. We're going to sing that verse, "Just as I am, without one plea." Let's sing it softly. And I'm appealing to the people in the gallery, first of all. Let me see your hand. All those in this gallery here, I'm looking to. Just as. Is there someone else in the gallery? Will you lift your hand now? Yes, God bless you, fella. I see you. God bless you. Someone else. That's right. God's in the meeting tonight. Someone else in the gallery. Anywhere in this gallery here. Let me see your hand. Yes, let me see it. Let me see it, friend. It's for you tonight. Will you come? Just lift your hand there in the gallery. Let me see it. Is there someone else? That's right. Lift it now. Next verse for the ground floor. Just as I am, thy love unknown. Just as. There on the ground floor, is there a soul for Christ? Will you lift your hand? Just do it now. Yes, let me see it. Anywhere on this ground floor. Is there a soul for Christ here? Yes, do it now. Lift your hand right up, friend. It's a token you're going to come. Let me see it. In God's name, for Christ's sake, is there someone else? Yes, just do it now. Lift your hand right up. Just as I am and willing not, I'm appealing to the people behind me. Is there another soul for Christ in this gathering of people behind me? Just as I am. Just as. Is there someone else? Is there someone else? Is there someone else? Will you lift it now? Yes, just do it now, friend. Oh, someone else. God bless you, fella. I see you. Take it down again. God bless you, sister. I see you. That's right. Someone else. Someone else behind me. Someone else here. Yes, someone else. One final verse. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. We'll welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. Thank God souls are coming tonight. My, I'm happy tonight that in the last night here, God's saving sinners. This is the thing that God called this church to do. Let's do it for Jesus' sake. Let's sing it, "Just as I am, thou wilt receive." Anywhere in the meeting, we're looking for you. Just as. Anywhere in the meeting, now. Let me see your hand. The final invitation. Yes, do it now. Do it now, friend. God bless you, fella. I see it. Thank God for another soul. Someone else. Someone else down here. Someone else. God bless you. Thank God for another. Hallelujah. Is there someone else? The final invitation. Oh, will you come, friend? Come and welcome to Jesus. Oh, you come. In this great gathering, we can't bring you out. The place is so glutted up with people. But just for you sit there, friend, you can come to Christ. The Bible says, whosoever, that means you, shall call on the name of the Lord, you can do that, shall be saved. Right now, as your head is bowed, just say this prayer. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a poor sinner. I am lost. and undone. And I need Jesus Christ. I'm coming to Him now. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Save me. Give me Thy Holy Spirit. Help me from this day to be a real Christian. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wasn't Ian Paisley said that? It was God Almighty said it. And it's true. Friend, believe it. And if I can help you after...